Hello, and welcome to Avio's Journey. My name is Anthony Pica. This podcast is all about helping the new and upcoming voiceover artists grow their business and sidestep all the crazy things that I seem to step on. I hope that you are having a great January the 14th. It is Thursday. It's great to be coming back to you. I want to talk to you today about a method of getting business, a marketing method that I've been starting to use more and more here in the beginning of 2021. And I want to talk to you about it and how you can utilize it as well. All right, let's do it.
This is VO's Journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
All right, it is good to be back. It's definitely been a little bit. It's been a fast second since the last time we've done a podcast, but I'm happy to be back. And, you know, I want to talk to you about a method, a marketing method that I've started using again. I've used it in the past, but I've started using a lot more now in 2021 and seeing some really great results from it. And I want to talk to you about it here. And that is pairing email marketing with cold calling. Now, the thing is I love, you know, the idea of email marketing in the sense that, you know, it is direct to the customer type of marketing. And if we do work with a customer and get their okay to put us on their email list in general, we have now a direct link to customers that would specifically buy a voiceover from us. It's not dependent upon a platform to drive people to our site or our, you know, our gigs. And I love that idea. The challenge with email marketing, right, that you run into is a variety of challenges. And that is, you know, finding the actual email address that you need to. Even if you did work and you found random email addresses, you know, we're not even sure if those email addresses are getting to the right person, or, you know, if they're even being seen, or even if the email addresses we find, if that company actually uses voice talent. You know what I mean? We don't know a lot when we're doing cold email. So, you know, one way to go about that is to just go hog wild and get as many email addresses as humanly possible, throw them all in this bucket, you know what I mean, and have a little hole in the bottom, and the ones that actually use voice talent and so forth, you know, will pop out there on the bottom, and the rest of them are just a necessary evil to getting to those few. You know, and that is definitely a funnel approach, which has been, you know, a style of marketing for a while now, and many people use it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think that it can rack your brain because the amount of emails and the amount of addresses and the amount that you have to do, right, is an awful lot. Because, you know, if you think about, you know, the sites that we're on and how much people view our stuff before we get an order, it's pretty insane. You know, so, you know, we got to think about how many emails you'd actually have to send out. I think it would be just a ludicrous amount. So, you know, to me, you know, I kind of stepped back and said, okay, well, how can I create, you know, a list of email addresses from people that I can vet in the sense of making sure that they are legitimate email addresses, one, two, their companies that actually use voice talent, and three, the email address is actually to the person who is making the decisions of working with the voice talent or picking the voice talent. And I think that criteria, if you move forward with it, there's a variety of different ways that you can go about doing it, right? You can go to sites like LinkedIn, do searching, trying to find creative directors, trying to find doing research about a company and seeing who does what and video production companies, et cetera. And clearly you can do all of that. And, you know, you can have some limited success with that, but it does take a little bit what takes a lot longer to really work on that, because again, you're kind of shooting in the dark though still, because you're not quite sure, you know, if you found the right person. So I was like, you know, the best thing to do is go straight to the source, right? And I think that's where cold calling comes in. And I think that it's, if you've never done it before, it can be daunting at first because, you know, we all remember when we were little, although it's funny, I don't get a lot anymore. And I think those were some laws passed back when, but I don't get a lot of phone calls anymore. That's not true. I think get a lot of robocalls now. Right. So you get a lot of robocalls now instead of real people calling. But I think that the reality is I remember back when I was younger, you know, my grandfather would just tear people apart when they'd call the house. You know, when I was like at my grandparents for vacation, and he would just go nuts on them, you know, about people calling. We've all seen that, and we all don't want to be pushy to people, and we know how we don't like it too. So I think cold calling kind of brings up all of these like shivers. Oh no, not the, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, what if I call someone and they curse at me or they yell at me, or, you know, I mean, it's just not worth it. You know, I don't need that kind of junk, right? And so cold calling has definitely gone down, especially with how much we are on social media and how much we can communicate through social media. But I do think that in light of everything that's going on, and, you know, we don't know now who is on social media and who is not. Right, we don't know how much the communication channels are open for some people, as they're open for other people, etc. So I think now more than ever is the time to make sure that we are able to reach out directly to people, right, who are running businesses that we could possibly work at, and I can't think of anything better or anything more straight to the source than us physically talking to someone for real. Okay, it really is the best thing. And I again, what I was saying before is that with social media, we've gotten to that place where it's so easy to find people, talk to them through social platforms, that a lot of phone calling and things like that have just kind of gone to the wayside, especially, like I said, with all the robocalls. But there's no doubt in my mind that talking on the phone with people can still be the best way to, you know, reach exactly the person that you're looking for. So here's what we do. And I've used this method. I've teaching people this method. It works out great. And I kind of want to talk to you about it as well. And it's very simple. Okay. All of the people, whether it's websites on the internet, even people on LinkedIn, right? All these different places, businesses, the positive thing is we're working with businesses. Meaning that first and foremost, remember, you're going to be calling a person working at a business, not a person at their home. So, and even if they are at their home, you know what I mean? It's for business purposes. So I've never, in all the calls I've made, I've never had someone be angry with me. You know, I've had a few people say, hey, we don't work with voice talent, but I've never, like, nicely, but I've never had anyone be upset with me for calling or angry. In fact, I've had wonderful conversations with people. And I think that's a misconception that we have, because, you know, we've got this idea that we're calling people at their home maybe or something, and we're going to bother them or interrupt them. And that's just not true. Okay. People are at business, you know, trying to grow their business. So it's expected that there's going to be business related things happening at business, right? So, but the big reason I love this is because, you know, when you go to a website looking for an email address or, you know, a way to contact a company to see, you know, if they're looking for voice talent, or you go on LinkedIn or you go on Twitter or you go on Instagram and you search for businesses and you find business accounts. Okay. The thing is that most businesses want you to call them. All right. They want you to call them or email them, but they want you to call them too. So they have their business phone number. And it's a great way to actually get meet all those three criteria I laid out earlier. All right. Out to satisfy them and to get straight to the source. So instead of throwing a bunch of people into a bucket, a bunch of businesses, I mean, and then just have a few come out at the bottom. We throw a lot fewer people into the bucket and have more people come out on the bottom. And we do that by, you know, picking up a phone, calling the company with the phone number they gave and simply asking to speak with the person who works with voice talent for their business, right? So right off the bat, that question does a couple of things. It automatically, we determine whether or not their company is going to work with voice talent. And also, we are getting to the exact person we're trying to reach, the exact person whose email we want to get. Now, again, this can go a bunch of different ways. It could be the person on the phone says, yeah, actually, that's me. That's great. Well, now, you know, if you know it's the person you need to talk to, you say, great. Well, hey, listen, you know, my name's Anthony. I'm a voice actor, and I was wondering if you guys are accepting demos. I got this particular script from Bill DeWeese, and I think we talked about this might before, but I really wanted to dive more into this topic. Now that I'm talking about it, I think I might have talked about this before on another podcast. But the thing is that this method, all right, of getting to that person, right, and the simple way of saying it is so unobtrusive that it really pulls down barriers. It's easy to say it, and it's also easy to execute. And it doesn't make you sound like you're some, you know, a weirdo calling and say, hey, do you need a voice talent? Hire me. You know, it's not what we're doing. So basically they give you your phone number, you get their name, ask for their name. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, hey, who can I address this to? The email address. And, you know, from there, you now have an email address that you stick into your follow-up file where you follow up every month with just an email saying, hey, remember me, I'm here. If you ever need a voiceover, let me know. Here's a couple new samples I did this month, all right, for some voiceover clients. You know, it's a great way to keep on the front mind of people that are making the decisions for voice talent. So that's a great way to do it. Now, there's could other things that could happen, right? You could go to voicemail. A great thing to do with voicemail, right, is to leave your name, leave your telephone number. Okay, the likelihood that they would call you back is very slim, but the likelihood that you have an email address, right, also from that phone number is great. So what you do is then you email them and you mention in there and say, hey, you know, this is I just called and left a message, right? And I'm you know, wanted to reach out through email to see if you guys were looking for voice actors, right? Do you see what I mean? So like you can tailor it that way. Now I want to talk about one other thing that happens, you know, if they pick up and, you know, there's no one that they say, you know, we don't accept voice or we're not working with voice talent. That's fine, right? You say, no, thank you so much. Now you know that you don't need to email them, right? You're in a better, you found out they don't work with voice talent. You don't need to do anymore. Or, right? They'll say something like, oh, we use in-studio people here. And I'd be like, fine. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Or the other thing that would happen, and this just happened to me 2 days ago, where I called someone and they're like, oh, we actually hire all of our voice talent from Fiverr. I was like, that's great. I'm a top rated seller on Fiverr. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. Send me your link to your gig. I was like, great. So I sent them an email to a link to my gig. Do you know what I mean? So like, and they could say same thing about voices.com or Upwork or whatever. And that's why it pays to be on all these different places as well, as we've talked about. But that's a really cool way to, you know, get in front of people, vet your email addresses. Now, you've probably noticed that this method takes up a lot of time. Right? It takes up a lot of time. So you're not going to, when I say a lot of time, you're not going to be able to leverage an automatic like email finder, all right? You would have to make the phone calls. Now, can you hire other people to make phone calls like a Salesforce? Absolutely. Businesses do it all the time. But that becomes a little bit more difficult, right? Because, you know, we have to hire someone who at least has that ability. And then, you know, we want to make sure they're doing what we tell them to do. So we need to come up with scripts and a system. And then you got to make sure who you hire, you know, if it's not local, there's probably companies out there too, who do phone calls for you. I don't know about that, but all I know is that even with us just doing them, even if you did 5 or 10 a day and you build up that email list over time, you know, you're going to have thousands of emails of people who are, you know, actively needing voice talent. And the more that you follow up with them, meaning like, you know, every month or every 6 weeks you're following up, you start to become more and more on the front of their mind. Do you know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, we need a voice talent. Hey, remember that person? Who's that person that emails us? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's a way for you to really, really get an asset for your business also, right? That's another thing too, is to get an asset for your business. Now, I want to talk to you briefly about this, like, what do you put in the email? Because I think this is super important. The more that we can personalize an email, the better. And the more that we can make it look not like it's a robo email, and that we can sign it as ourselves, the better. So I like to do the subject line. All right. I like to do the subject line. We want to keep it under 30 characters. And the subject line needs to be something simple like voiceover demo for, and then the name of the person that you contacted. Okay. I love doing this method because, you know, voiceover demo for, and I say their name. So if it's like John, voiceover demo for John. All right. That's the subject line. And then I go ahead and, in the opening of the email itself. All right. The first thing I say is John. So I say the name again. John. Now you only want to say the name two times. You don't need to say John. You don't need to say the name anymore. You send it to the subject line, and then you set in the opening line of your email. All right. Say John. This is Anthony. We just spoke on the phone. Thank you so much for talking with me. Here is a couple of links to voiceover samples or voiceovers that I've done. And then I like to put two links, you know, to YouTube videos, or you could put links, you know, to videos that you have uploaded on your website or whatever. And then from there, I also like to send a rate card. Right. I like to send a rate card with my rates on it. And I say, also, I've attached my rate card just in case you need it. And thank you so much. Sincerely, Anthony. And I type out my name. Okay. Now below, my signature also has, like, my automated signature has my name, the company name, my email address, my telephone number, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I've personalized the email like it's actually from a person, because it is. And also, I've mentioned that we spoke on the phone. I've mentioned their name a couple of times. You don't want to mention it too many times, because then it seems weird. You know what I mean? John, this is what do you think about this, John? John, tell me your feeling. John, I'd like to work with you. It's after a while, it becomes odd. Do you know what I mean? So just a couple of times, max. But it makes a big, big impression. Okay, a big impression. And I think that the understanding how to write the copy, okay, is super, 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 super important. I think it just makes a big deal. So from there, you know, we've created our email, we created a subject line, we send it. I think the key to email marketing as well, you know, and phone call, is the follow-ups. Right. I think the follow-ups is super, super important, because following up really is where the gold is with email. Most people don't follow up. Okay. I think that's a big deal. So a lot of people, you know, I was looking at this chart, and I think it was like the percentage of people that reply on, you know, the email, as you work up the chain, right? From like the first, second, third, fourth, fifth email. I mean, around the third, fourth, fifth, sixth email, seventh email, eighth email, ninth, 10th email, you still have around the eighth email, you still have over 10% of the people responding. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, you have 10% more replies, you know, after eight emails. I mean, follow-up emails. I mean, that's insane, right? That's absolutely insane. I mean, it really lends credence to, and this is from Mailshake, by the way, that information, you know what I mean? You know, I think the idea that we just send something once and hope that someone can remember us over a period of time is just kind of silly. We've got to continue to follow up with people. Okay. I really do think that's important. And I think they have some cool numbers. You know, they're like 92% of salespeople give up after four no's, but 80% of prospects say no four times before they say yes. That's an interesting thing. You know, if you think about that, right? Another thing is research shows that 35 to 50% of sales go to the vendor that responds first. That's interesting. Okay. But what does that tell you? That means 35 to 50% of sales. So what about the rest of the sales? Okay. Also, here's another piece of data. You have a 21% chance of getting a reply to your second email if the first goes unanswered. So again, right, we're talking about following up now and how important it is to continue to follow up. All right. I think it's crazy. That we don't follow up more. And it's easy not to, right? Because we do this work, we get the stuff, we send it out, and then we just want to be done with it. But the follow-up is key. The follow-up is key, all right? Now, when you follow up with someone and they don't answer, if it's a complete cold email, see what we're doing with the phone calling is trying to mitigate this whole entire other process, right? And now, like I'm saying, because I'm getting this data from Mailshake, Mailshake is a cold emailing and an automated service, right? So it kind of goes on automation as opposed to you doing it all yourself. But I like the idea of automating it after I've already reached out on the phone, vetted the email address, made sure that it's a real person who is dealing with voiceover so that I can, you know, send my follow-ups every month or whatever and not be worried about them, not getting to the right person, right? So listen, I hope that this has been helpful for you. I'd love for you to really dive in. And you might say, well, what do I follow up with? And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, for me, I follow up with just a, you know, John, hey, what's going on? It's Anthony. You know, we spoke a month ago, we spoke 2 months ago, or sent you an email a month ago. Just wanted to let you know that if you need a voiceover, I'm here for you. And here's a couple more samples of my work that I did this month. Have a good one. Sincerely, Anthony. Do you know what I mean? Like it's short to the point. You're just keeping up with them. Now, some people take different approaches. Like some people follow up with funny, you know, like informational things. Some people follow up with newsletters. Some people follow up with all kinds of different stuff. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what I mean? So you can do whatever, you can get creative. And there's actually businesses out there, I think, that will do follow-ups for you as well. So, you know, there's a bunch of different things that you can do. But the key here is that you get a follow-up going. And you vet these email addresses up front, right? The other way is that you automate you get email addresses, either you purchase them, you know, you scrape them, you do, you go yourself and just start get tons of email addresses on your own and throw them into the pot. That's fine. But I think the phone calling method really helps you out a lot. And hopefully this podcast has been helpful for you today. If you get a chance, as always, please feel free to write a review over on iTunes or Spotify and wherever you are. And also check out our Facebook group and all that jazz. And you know, if you're looking to join Fiverr Elite this year, we'd love to have you. There'll be a link below. And you can also check out aviosjourney.com, which is a great website. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. You have a wonderful, 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 wonderful January 14th. I will talk to you soon. All right, peace.